coast to coast on the World Wide Web. This is Trot Radio on standardbredcanada.ca. I'm Norm Bourne. You know, our thoroughbred friends often refer to us standardbred guys as, quote, those jugheads. Well, a couple of notable jugheads have gone and beat them at their own game. Nick Boyd, one of the leading drivers at Kawartha Downs this season, is one of those jugheads, and he's on the other end of my line. Nick, welcome to Trot Radio.
Norm, thanks for having me.
First of all, congratulations on your first ever thoroughbred win with Pugnacity at Fort Erie on Tuesday.
Thank you very much. It was definitely a neat experience, even though we've won some standardbred races before. I guess maybe everything that led up to it made it that much better, winning the thoroughbred races.
Well, let's talk about that. What made you decide to delve into the thoroughbred? I mean, you're doing great at Kawartha. You're one of the leading drivers, and you, along with James Friday Dean, are doing well in your own right. What got you into delving into the thoroughbred game?
The other partner we have, Handel Virial, he's a good friend of mine, and I was kind of involved with along for the ride, should we say, with the mare that he had racing last year, Sherwood, at Fort Erie. And amongst my travels to pick her up and take her to Turnout Farm and such, I managed to come across this thoroughbred, or a guy looking to get rid of Pugnacity. And James Friday Dean was with me due to some unfortunate circumstances that he couldn't get to Florida like he normally does for the winter. Mm-hmm. And he said, why not? So we all talked and decided to take a chance with Pugnacity. And the ball got rolling from there.
What did you pay for, if you don't mind my asking?
We all grabbed $1,000 out of the debit, our debit cards there, and put it in, and that got us through until we started back training him himself. So that purchased them and, you know, paid for some layup in the winter, and we kind of started the Cinderella story, I guess, maybe.
Yeah.
That was the end of November, or the middle of November, so it started from there.
It certainly is a Cinderella story, because I understand Pugnacity had some soundness issues when you bought him. Is that not true?
Yeah, he was. I guess a lot of the thoroughbreds is a different game for us, and a lot of them are very, for lack of better terms, they're really gant. They're tucked up, and he came home, and we said, oh boy, like, what did we get ourselves into here? But you know, he had a lot of time off, I can tell you that much.
Now, what were the training methods you used on Pugnacity? I'm sure they might be a bit different from those that regular thoroughbred trainers use.
Yeah, I looked into, the standardbreds are lucky, they have the care and training of a pacer and trotter, that if anyone wanted to pick it up, they could at least get some type of regimen for bringing a horse along. As it was, I looked and looked and looked and really never came across anything. So we just kind of decided to go with the best of it. I took him to Ted McDonnell's farm because I was helping Teddy with his drive some of his horses in the mornings there. So for the first 3-4 months, he spent pretty much most of his time out in the field. And then we had no clue of really what to do. So we even went as far as bringing him in and having a standardbred blacksmith shoe him, and we put flip-flops on him up front, which is probably really unheard of, or at least was for our connections. And then from there, we just kind of, we thought maybe it would be, we could get him exercised by towing him behind the tow gate, but he didn't really want to cooperate with the tow gate, being just tied to the tow gate. So a lot of the winter was spent, I was riding on the tow gate and had a long lunge line on him, and Friday was driving the truck around, and we'd jog him like that for the first little bit anyways. And then once the weather turned, we obviously, it was a little tougher to get on the track with the tow gate just because of the soft track and whatnot. So Friday had a couple horses come back in, and then from there, I put a lead shank on them and sat on the side of the cart while Friday would jog them, and that's kind of how we went about getting him into condition.
Now, when you got him in condition, it was time to start doing some works. And for those that are unfamiliar, works are registered in the racing form with thoroughbreds or not with standardbreds. What did you have to do to get, did you have any trouble finding an exercise rider? What happened then when the training really got serious?
Well, again, we were still at Ted, and there were some people that said they would exercise ride them, or ride him for us, rather, but it just never worked out that we could make it work. I mean, we don't even own a saddle, so we couldn't really get anyone to come in, so we took the, it wasn't really up to their workout speeds, but we just, one of the horses that Friday had, we'd buzz him a half mile, and we'd tow the thoroughbred right alongside, and he'd get on the dead gallop, or at least what we thought was fast. I can tell you it was pretty hard to hold on to him at that point. But we did that 6 or 7 times, and then we just knew we couldn't go any further with them. So we were in touch with the Fort Erie Racetrack about potential trainers, and they had sent a list, and one of the guys that came up on the list was a fellow who had I'd known from Twitter, and actually had a few conversations with him, and I got in touch with him, and he said that he had his assistant trainer, Lindsay Hode, was down at Fort Erie, and that there was stalls down there, and under his care, we were more than welcome to drop him off to Lindsay, and they'd start the ball rolling.
When did you know you might have had something?
Well, we dropped them off on a Thursday afternoon, and it was Tuesday. They said, well, they were laughing because we had the flip-flops on. They said, we'll get a blacksmith in here tomorrow, and we'll exercise them the next 3 days just to see where he's at. And then if the exercise rider feels comfortable, maybe we'll go a work with them. And as it worked out, they put the shoes on, and the exercise guy went with them. He seemed to like them. And they breezed them 3 furlongs that Tuesday, so about 4 days after we dropped them off. And he happened to work the bullet that day, which is, for anyone that doesn't understand that, that's the fastest work of the day.
Correct.
And he breezed 3 furlongs in 36.
Wow.
Which is pretty much on par for what you'd want, although from everything I was told, that was probably a little bit of a fast work for the time of the year because everyone had just gotten into Fort Erie.
Mm.
So we didn't really know what we had because that was a short sprint type of workout, and everything indicated that he needed to go long. So that kind of got the buzz going with us from there.
Well, you won in a head bob in a thrilling stretch duel last Tuesday at Fort Erie. What's next for Pugnacity?
We're going to let our trainer decide what's next. It's been quite a thrill. We raced them 3 times. I don't think we ever really expected them to do much of anything. We just thought we'd give them a try. As it came about, he had to start off in a shorter race, a five and a half furlong race, which really wasn't the best for him. And then we stretched him out to just less than a mile on the turf, and we finally were able to get a maiden claimer on the dirt, which was just over a mile. And it was the first time that the guy that had been exercise riding him rode him, and Brad Wilson was our rider. He did just an excellent job with them. And I think the whole time we had thought the longer he goes, the better he should get, because unlike conventional thoroughbred methods, we were out leading him 3, 4, 5, 6 miles a day sometimes, just kind of wherever he wanted to go. So it comes as no surprise that as we started to get longer, he started to get better here. So I think maybe we'll try to find him a distance race, and I'm sure we'll just bump him up into the 5,000 claimer for non-winners of two.
Oh, listen, you're doing the right thing. Whatever it is you're doing, it's working. It's like the old cartoon character said, I don't know how you've done it, but I know you've done it.
Yeah, we don't really know how we've done it either. It's just kind of been a nice ride. You know, we've had lots of people along for the journey. Gay Murray, she's one of our biggest fans. She used to be the outrider. A lot of people would remember her from the days of Garden City on her horse Shanigan, and she was at Greenwood. And Liz McLaren, she's been along for us too. Unfortunately, she didn't make it for the win, but she was watching, and a lot of the people from the older days, they've kind of followed along. They were Friday's friends. Ron Waples phoned us to congratulate us. Another former driver, Bill Dolby, did the same thing. So it's kind of been a nice, enjoyable experience, to be honest with you. We were just taking a shot in the dark, and it really was a joke. Friday's a big fan of the Three Stooges, and there was an episode when they traded their failing bar for a broken-down old thoroughbred, and the methods they used were very unconventional. So it kind of almost feels like we're remaking the Three Stooges episode, if nothing else. But the one thing I can say is, it's that win picture is more important than any purse check, but purse check is also, for a maiden claimer, is also more of the thoroughbreds than you can win on any B track, having the best horses we have in standardbred.
It's pretty enticing. Whatever the, like I said, whatever you guys are doing, keep doing it. Congratulations, and also best of luck on your winning season at Kawartha. Thanks so much for this.
Thank you very much, Norm. I appreciate you having me on.